Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Despite Luka Doncic being in foul trouble, Kawhi and the Clippers did not lead for even a second last night in a 127-114 loss. Kawhi at 35 points, but it was paired with a poor 4-of-17 shooting night from Paul George. And after the game, Luka said analysts should be saying the Mavericks have a shot to win the series, especially now that the series is tied at a game apiece. Chris Broussard still with us. Your biggest takeaway from last night's game?
Well, first, I do have to say that the Mavericks are a really good young team. Like, I've said that in 2 years, they'll be a legitimate title contender. Maybe that's next year. I mean, those guys are tough. They obviously shoot the ball really well. But let me get to the Clippers. I could talk about Patrick Beverley not being there with the sore calf. I could talk about Paul George going 0-for in the first half and only finishing with 14 points. I could talk about their bench being outplayed for the second straight game, which is shocking because they've got two of the top 3 6 men in the league. Or I could talk about their poor free throw shooting or three-point shooting, 29%. But to me, what this all boiled down to, and my biggest takeaway, is that this nonchalant, kind of lackadaisical, maybe even entitled attitude that I think the Clippers have had all year. And maybe it starts with load management when your best player load manages, but it seems like they felt like we, no matter what happens, whether we used to playing with each other or not, whether we've only played 11 games together, whether this guy's in or out of the lineup, we can step on the court and beat whoever. Seeding doesn't matter. None of it matters. I don't know if they've been listening to the pundits, including myself and
yes.
Steve, who have anointed
yes.
them.
Yes, that's where I'm going. Yes.
Team. A lot of people said they're the best team in the world already. And they, as we would say in old days, they're reading their press clippings. But I just think that that caught up with them last night because, to me, you saw a decided difference in the way they approached the fourth quarter. It didn't work, but they came out. They were aggressive defensively. They seemed to be more into it. And it was too late, though. Dallas was rolling. They couldn't stay in front of those little guards, and they lost. So I think ultimately this could be a good thing for the Clippers because I just think they felt like we're going to step on the court and win. And they learned last night, you're not winning a championship. You're not winning the West. You may not even win a series if you don't bring your A game and have an attitude adjustment that these playoffs are real and these teams are really out to beat you and capable of beating you. So I'm still with the Clippers, picked them in 5 in this series, still think they win it. But they needed an attitude adjustment, and I think they got it last night.
Well, Chris, that's where you ended where I was going. Is because you made these, you and a lot of others made excuses. They lose in the regular season, and Kawhi got lit up. Oh, it doesn't matter. It's the playoffs. Paul George get lit up. Oh, it doesn't matter. It's the playoffs. Now, Luka Doncic dropped 42 on him. Well, you wait to see what he was just feeling out. They're going to wear him down. Now, Luka had 22 in the first half, 22, 6, and 5. Now, he doesn't get in foul trouble and only plays like 7-8 minutes in the second half. He's going for another 40 spot. So you can do all this talking, and I keep telling you, Kawhi Leonard is not the same defensive player that he was. He's not, because now he's more focused on offense, because the attention comes when you play offense. And there have been very few players that had an offensive game plan, a game, and had a defensive game to match. That's Kobe and Mike. LeBron had a little stretch there for about 3 or 4 years where he could dominate. But what we've seen from Kawhi is that Kawhi's last healthy year in San Antonio, he was defensive player of the year, and he averaged 20. And we're like, man, two-way, Kawhi says, I don't want to be no two-way player. I want to be the best player. And the way to do that is to score these buckets. So that's what he's focusing more on, the offensive end. Ain't no way. Kawhi's last year in San Antonio, he was healthy, Skip. There's no way Luka Doncic is beating him off the dribble to the basket, basically whenever he wants to. They're getting whatever they want. Trey Burke, as I told you off air, Chris, I thought it was the conga line. You see how they going to the basket on them jokers? Looking like Isaiah Thomas. Even son-in-law, Seth Curry, hey, Pop, what you think about that, Doc? Because you know he married Doc. Hey, Pop, look at me. To the hole on him. And one. I was surprised with the ease in which the Mavs got to the basket. okay, they won because, you know, you're shooting the ball, okay, you get hot one night, you can do that. But how they could take off the dribble, everybody seemed to be emboldened. Like, man, as slow as Billy Hall is, that's what they call Luka Doncic, Billy Hall. You know, white man can't jump skip. They call it white, they call it Billy Hall. They say, if he can get to the rack, I know I can. And here comes Seth. Here comes Hardaway Jr. Finney Smith, everybody taking turns. I want some.
Mm.
Got him. Now what, Skip?
You finished? Hey, Chris. The Clippers were so awful last night. They were so flawed. They were so exposed that my man, Shannon Sharp, earlier in this show, predicted they're going to win the next three games and win this in five.
I picked them in five.
Okay, well, then what are you spewing about? What's all the problem? It doesn't even matter. Last night was inconsequential. They're just going to flip the switch and say, that's enough.
No.
Watch this, baby bird. We'll put you right back in your nest.
Okay.
Yeah, and you're going to be whining for your dinner, right?
Okay.
You need some more. You need to grow up.
Okay.
Okay, well, that's what you're telling me. If you flipped the script and you said, the Mavericks got this, I would respect it. But I can't put any credibility in everything you just said.
Well, if Kane Fitzgerald hadn't have came to the party, what he was invited to and filed out Porzingis.
Flip your script.
Kristaps.
Have your guts. Put your Mountain Dew where your diet Mountain Dew where your mouth is.
Nope.
And tell me that the Mavericks are going to win this series.
No.
Okay,
no.
Well, then we're good. We're good. Next question, right? No. Okay, I agree. The problem last night was that Paul George turned back into the guy I don't love, George Paul. In playoffs, big playoff games in Indiana, he turned into George Paul. You can't always trust him. He is a complimentary star. He's not the guy.
No.
And all of a sudden last night, when I least expected it, whoops, 4 of 17 and 2 of 10. And if we could see that one air ball he shot, it was really at the end of the game because they were only down 3 at this point. And George Paul shows up again and shoots the worst air ball you'll ever see because this one misses, I think it was 4 feet wide left. What are you doing, George? I don't know what you're doing. And that was sort of the end of their spirit because they didn't have Patrick Beverley, who is their tone setter, especially on the defensive end. I told you last week he is the third most important Clipper. And the shame of last night was that Luka is sitting on the bench, grinning and resting for the whole run that just blew the Clippers off the court.
Yeah.
It was all the backups. It's starting with Seth Curry, who had a night. He looked like Steph Curry last night. He was pretty special coming off the bench and making shots. And when Boban comes in and does that to you.
Big Bo looking like Elijah Wan out there, Chris.
My God. And then the other problem with the Clippers is Doc is having to play early playoff games like their scrimmages because he's trying to work Montrez back into the flow.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a practice game. Montrez played 22 minutes last night, and before game one, he hadn't played a basketball game since March the 10th. He shows up late. Obviously, the bubble had lost his grandmother. It had to be quarantined, and he missed all the scrimmages in the bubble. He missed every regular season conclusion game in the bubble. And now he's thrown into a playoff game, 22 minutes?
Yeah.
What do you expect from him? He's a little shaky. He's having a hard time.
Hey, guess what? In them seeding games, guess what else he was doing, Chris? Mm. Collecting checks.
Mm.
So guess what? Doc said you was collecting these checks. Get your butt out there, run up down the court, and give us some points. That was the difference in the ball game is that their bench, very seldom does the Clipper bench get outscored. As you mentioned, Chris, they got two of the three top six men in the year. That's why they're in the boat, the final voting.
Mm.
Lou Will and Trez. And that bench gave it to them last night. I mean, Trey Burke, Seth Curry, they were unbelievable. Seth Curry put skates on your guy. But what he didn't show you is that his guy, did you see that brick he shot, Chris?
Mm.
How you on one side of the rim and you hit the backboard on the other side without touching the rim?
Mm.
He must have thought it was a Philly game. You're going to get 4 or 5 bounces and then we're going to go in.
And despite all that, Kawhi Leonard only goes for 35-10 last night. Is that any good?
Get where he came to, though,
35-10.
Don't tell anybody. Don't tell Governor Newsom. But I had his Ohio party last night for him. Served up the mails. He came to see me. Because you cut my power off. Don't tell Governor Newsom.
Really?
Yeah, he came by club.
Really?
Yep. Got the Ohio there.
I'm going to snitch on that one. So, guess what? Chris and Shannon.
What?
I predicted this before it all started. I said, Clippers in seven. And I stick by my pick. Clippers in seven.
I don't know.
Yep. It's going to be a battle.
All right. Okay. You got five? Okay. Chris, enjoy the games today. Always a pleasure to have you join us on Undisputed. We'll check in with you later this week.
Mavs in five.
No mercy.
Tonight on FS1, we've got some baseball action coming your way as Christian Yelich leads the Brewers against Nelson Cruz and the Twins. It all starts at 6:30 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. This is my chance to say it. Go Twins! Moving on, Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy shared that he will not be calling plays like he did in Green Bay. Instead, offensive coordinator Kellen Moore will be calling the shots. McCarthy said he's been impressed with what he's seen from Moore thus far. Dak Prescott set career highs in passing yards and touchdowns last season in Moore's first season as offensive coordinator. So, Shannon, are you surprised by this?
I'm not really, Skip. For the simple fact, this has been a very abnormal offseason. And it's going to be a very abnormal preseason. Skip, normally you have OTAs, you have mini camp, you have a normal training camp where you have preseason games, but none of that is in play here. And so now basically you're just basically having a training camp, a very scaled down version of training camp because a lot of it is you're not really together. Yep. You try to keep people isolated because you don't want to spread the virus or have anybody that might have it and spread it throughout the building. So it's a very unique situation. Now, Mike McCarthy, when he was in Green Bay, Skip, he called the plays, then he stopped, and then he went back to it. I believe, had this been a normal set of circumstances, I believe Mike McCarthy would call the plays because why else would you change the offense and let the coordinator that was last there call the plays? Now, Skip, we see this sometimes when, especially with defensive coaches that stay on the staff. When Mike Tomlin took over the Steelers, he kept Dick LeBeau. He didn't change the defense. He said, we're going to run my defense, Dick, but you're going to get Dick LeBeau. You're going to, call the plays for my defense.
Good point.
Dick, yep. They kept with the zone blitz.
Yep.
And we see that a lot of times, especially with defensive guys. I'm going to keep because I like the defensive staff that we have. I like the way the defense played. And you change it like that. So, for me, this is telling me that because of the circumstances is not usual. And let's have Dak have a voice that he's used to hearing. In his ear. To give him some calm. But I do believe, Skip, had this been a normal set of circumstances,
yep.
I believe Mike McCarthy are calling these plays.
So do I. And by the way, Dick LeBeau had been in Pittsburgh for what seemed like 40 years.
Yeah.
Kellen Moore has been doing this for one.
For one.
I was bullish on Kellen getting this play calling job a year ago.
Yes.
Liked what I saw early. Didn't love it down the stretch.
Right.
They put up the most yards in all of pro football, but they went 8-8. And Dak's play tailed off down the stretch. So I'm not going to blame Kellen for all that, but it didn't click. They went 8-8.
Right.
So it wasn't like, they're coming off two playoff wins. Nope, they're not. So it was a little wistful and painful to read what McCarthy said yesterday. He said, personally, I know I'll miss it, calling plays. I miss a lot of components of it already. But my responsibility is to make sure I can help Kellen, even though he's young in the job, but he's great at this. And his point was, it's best for the football team for me to do it. So you make the best point.
Right.
It's probably pandemic related.
Right.
It's virtual reality related, where they just haven't been able to do much.
Right.
So let's keep it as close as we can to what he's comfortable with.
Right.
But I'm going to remind everybody, Mike McCarthy in stretches in this league has been known as maybe the best play caller. Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember he was 6 years an offensive coordinator, 5 in New Orleans and 1 for a young Alex Smith in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. He was highly regarded.
Right.
Remember what he used to do with Jeff Blake and Aaron Brooks?
Right.
He was top of the charts, man.
Mm-hmm.
What those two did under Mike McCarthy.
Yep.
He was a prodigy. He was a budding genius of a play caller. And then there were stretches with Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, when most people considered him one of the top 2 or 3 play callers in the league.
Right.
I get you. They had some issues. He and Aaron fell apart.
Right.
And so he gave up the play calling for a stretch. And
yeah,
but
you can't call plays and get massages on Saturday.
Well, okay.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You got to.
Okay. And that's
delegate
touche.
I will give you that. My bad.
But here he is with a young play caller, 32 years of age, Kellen Moore. Used to be a backup quarterback for the Cowboys. Had a great college career. Great college career. It was like a little Joe Montana. Mm-hmm. But he's done it for 1 year with mixed results.
Right.
at best. Mixed results.
Skip, I think the thing is what he's going to have to learn is that I think he has a lot of creativity in the pass game, but that's only one part of an offense. You also got to have creativity in the run game. And I think the thing is they need to be more on balance. I think sometimes that Kellen Moore gave up too quickly on the run game.
Okay.
If they're balanced, and Zeke, you know, like I said, I believe Zeke will be Zeke. So Zeke being Zeke is somewhere between 1,350 and 1,600 yards.
Okay.
But if they can be balanced, Skip, they can be the deal with. Because the West Coast offense is a lot of bootleg, Skip, and yeah. Dak is mobile. So now you can put him on the move. Hey, take the drag, take the comeback, take the over.
To your point, very creative in the passing game. Yeah. Not at all creative. There's no Kyle Shanahan going on here.
No, there's not.
Where people are in motion, people are flying around. It's misdirection.
Jet sweeps.
Nope. We don't see any of that. It's just here.
Just take a seat.
Here. Make your own hole, right?
Yeah.
And most of the time, he didn't make his own right. hole. So my point is that I even had issues. Remember down the stretch of the Viking game on Sunday right. night at Jerry right. World? Remember, Dak was on fire.
Right.
And drove him all the way down to, what was it, like second and eight
right.
at the 11-yard mm-hmm. line. And they went, Zeke, Zeke, throw it to Zeke, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And ball game.
Right.
And I thought they were about to cash it in and win the ball game, and they did not. So was that Kellen Moore? I don't know. Maybe he got superseded at that point by Jason Garrett saying, run the ball.
No. I'm not going to let you see. I see what you try to do. You try to get a parting shot in at Red.
Yep.
I ain't going to let you do Red like that.
Yep.
He's up in the Giants. He said another positive thing about your organization, yep. Skip, and you try to take a shot at him from a distance.
I have scapegoated him all the way out of town.
You did.
Yeah, all the way to New York.
So I guess Jerry and the offensive line.
Yep.
You see, when the offensive line, what about the offensive line missed that block and they got Zeke caught in the backfield?
Mm.
That was Jason Garrett's fault.
I don't remember that one.
You do remember that because it was second down. He didn't go anywhere.
Oh,
remember?
You mean against Minnesota?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you meant against the Rams in that playoff game on that remember, fourth and short at midfield?
Yeah.
Coming out of the third quarter break?
Yeah.
And Zeke went right up the gut and ran right into Aaron Donald and...
Well, that was Jerry's fault.
Yeah.
Because remember, earlier in the year, he had got upset at Jason Garrett because not going for it on fourth down against the Texans.
Yep.
So now that's in the back of the man and criticized me publicly. What do owners do that at?
Mm.
Well, let me go for it now.
How can you defend a coach who notoriously went 8-8 seemingly every year, except a couple?
Well, even when he wasn't there.
Yep.
I mean, it's not like y'all been going to the playoffs every year.
We got a made man. We got Mike McCarthy. He won a Super Bowl
Green
Bay.
You got a man. Hold on. He had two MVP quarterbacks, and that's all he got.
Jason Garrett never even got to the conference championship game, not even once.
Oh, hold on. Mm-hmm. Oh, so now it's just Jason Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all had a lot of coaches from 1995 until now.
Mm-hmm.
And don't just blame Jason Garrett. Chan Gailey didn't get there. Dave Campo didn't get there. Bill Parcells didn't get there.
Mm-hmm.
So stop doing that on Jason Garrett.
Mm. It was all Jason's fault.
The one thing that's common denominator, the owner didn't get there.
Mm.
Yeah, talk about him.
Mm.
And him, his meddlesome self.
He made a great hire in Mike McCarthy. And I think Mike, at some point, might want to segue back into calling plays. At some point,
that's
just
what you
to
hoping.
See how it goes.
That's what you hoping, huh?
Maybe.
You'll be calling for it. After y'all go 0-3, you'll be calling for
I would be.
Yep. Start calling plays again. No mercy.
Anthony Davis is fully embracing his first postseason run as LeBron's teammate. While it seems like it's championship or bust for the Lakers, AD isn't letting the outside noise get to him. The seven-time All-Star said, quote, "There's always going to be critics when you're playing with the best player in the game. My job is to relieve pressure off of him. But I don't listen to what anybody has to say about my play or the play of my teammates. I do have a responsibility to play at a high level and help make things easier for LeBron." Shannon, I have a feeling you might like this. What do you make of AD's comments?
He's absolutely right, Skip, but this is what he signed up for. You know the expectations that come along when you tag along, when you team up with another great player, and that player happens to be on the Lakers. There are certain organizations that when you go to, the expectation is Boston, you know, for the longest, Boston, basically it's Boston. Well, not so much Boston now, but they're getting back. Jason Tatum is unbelievable. But the Lakers and the Celtics, Skip, they're royalty.
Mm-hmm.
In the NBA. And when you go to those teams, it's about championships. It's not about, you know, Western Conference and division titles. It's about titles, big titles. Larry O'Brien, the chip. And when you go there and when you play with those great players, that is the expectation. And he knew what he signed up for when he says, Rich Paul, I want to get out of New Orleans and I want you to get me to L.A. He knew what was going to come along with that. He knows the pressure. Skip, it's pressure. It's, it, well, It's nothing like he's ever felt before because nobody thought Anthony Davis was going to lead the Pelicans to a title in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. But when you pair with that guy right there, and he's taken less teams, granted, now it was in the East, but he's taken teams with less talent to a finals. Skip, I mean, many believe he's the most talented player that LeBron has ever played with.
He is.
Now, D-Wade might have something to say about that. I know D-Wade is more accomplished, but okay, you want to nitpick and say AD is more talented? Okay, I'll give you that. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter about titles. Can you and LeBron come together and win this thing?
Mm-hmm.
But Anthony Davis knew what he was getting into, Skip.
Yep.
Look, I expect you go to a school, Skip, at one of these prestigious universities, you expect to get a course load that's heavy. Don't be thinking, you go, oh, man, this is a breeze. No, that's not how it works. You went there with that guy. You know what to expect.
Hmm. I completely disagree that he knew what was coming.
Oh.
There's no way to know until you get there and feel it. He's just now feeling it. His first taste of it was two nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can tell somebody all you want to tell them until they feel what it feels like to be on a floor with that guy when it really matters. It's like, wait a second. I'm not sure I wanted to sign up for this because there's nothing harder in sports right now. That guy, Anthony Davis, is in blame position A. In all of sports right now, he is on the hottest seat. He's in the biggest line of fire because it's hard to play with that guy, even though he can make it very easy on you.
Right.
But because LeBron is so beloved, it's too easy to jump on his co-star as the reason LeBron lost. And it happened again game one.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Tuesday night.
And again, too often, AD in fourth quarters has stood for all done. He was all done in that fourth quarter. He gave LeBron next to no help. He made one shot out of three. He took mm-hmm. only three, and usually he just marches to the free throw line. He right. got there one time and missed both of
right.
them. And it set the tone for the collapse at the end of the game. What was it, 19-6 run over the last 7 minutes. Yep. Lakers up six with 7 minutes to go, gave up a 19-6 run. LeBron wasn't there, and that guy LeBron was there more than AD was. Mm-hmm. He just was gone. He was all done by that point. So to me, I don't know. It's a be careful what you wish for, because he says to Rich Paul, get me to Los Angeles. I love L.A. I want to play with LeBron in purple and gold, but you don't think about, because you can't know what it's going to feel like. The regular season is one thing.
Yeah.
But, man, this is the hardest thing there is in sports.
Because, Skip, ultimately what you're judged by when you play with the Lakers is titles.
Yeah.
They're great. If you think about it, Skip, when you think about the Lakers, nobody in their team, the Celtics maybe have more Hall of Famers, but the Celtics Hall of Famers are not known like the Lakers. Kareem, Wilt.
Yep.
Kobe, Magic, Shaq. That's what he's up against. That's what he's up against.
He is.
And also, there's a guy that happens to be the logo. They played in that organization, Skip.
He did.
So he had to, Skip, maybe he hadn't felt it, but he knew you had to, Skip. Okay, if you go play for the Patriots
yep.
and you play quarterback, Skip, what's the expectations? It's titles. It ain't no, man, I threw for 5,000 yards. I threw for 40 touchdowns. And we had a guy to do that, too. We had a guy threw for 50 touchdowns, threw for 5,000. But he went to 9 Super Bowls and won 6. What are you going to do? We've had big guys to put up numbers like that. Kareem, Shaq, Will. What are you going to do?
Yep.
Are you going to stock the are you going to stock the fridge? Are you stocking the fridge with trophies? That's what they need to know in Lakerland. That's what they care about.
Yeah.
That's why their stars are so beloved, Skip. That's why they love Kobe and Magic and Shaq and Kareem. Because titles, if you want to be beloved, bring a title.
He is the most talented player LeBron has ever played with. Nobody loves Dwayne Wade more than I do. But Dwayne Wade was more intangible than tangible because he was about 6'5", maybe.
6'4".
Yeah, 6'4".
Yeah.
But you want to talk about heart and guts.
Yes.
And killer will.
Yep.
He had it all.
Yep.
And I still say he helped teach LeBron how to handle himself and how to win championships. Mm-hmm. Greatest thing that ever happened to LeBron was D-Wade in Miami. But this guy, is six. We can give him 6'10".
Yeah.
Not 6'11", 6'10", probably.
Yep.
Can pull up and shoot threes. He can shoot mid-range jump shots. When he is cooking, he will cook anybody.
Oh, yeah.
He is unguardable. Yeah. And Dwayne wasn't unguardable, obviously, at 6'4"-ish, as you say. Yeah. So that guy's got the whole package.
Yeah.
He's like a free throw making machine until all of a sudden it was the fourth quarter of game one of the playoffs.
Right.
So I go back to, I rarely agree with anything Charles Barkley says, but he did say the other day, I don't know if he's that killer, if he's that guy who just says, I'm going to kill all y'all. Mm-hmm. LeBron at times has had that in him, but not consistently. That guy has never had it in him.
Well, Skip, he understands that my job is to make LeBron's job easier. And I didn't do that.
Okay.
He understands that's his job. And I think the thing is, Skip, when you are a co-star and the star is there, your job is to make it easier for him. And he's going to make your job, Skip, obviously, it's easier if you're playing with the more great players you play with, the easier your job is.
Yep.
Because nobody can just double team and triple team you because they need to worry about him also. So clearly, this is the best player that Anthony Davis will ever play with. So how easy is his job being? But LeBron, but the thing is, Skip, you know, when everybody's talking about title, number one seed in the West, and you haven't played well, and then you didn't play well down the stretch, whether you're listening or not, you heard it. You don't got to listen, but you hear it. You hear what's being said. Mm. I told you he wasn't that dog. I told you he wasn't that guy.
Mm.
And if you're not, guess what? Your family hear it. Oh, dude, it's going to get back to you. But I expect him to rise and shine. I say expect him to stand at attention tonight. Stand
he had
off.
Better. He had better.
6'10"
Yep.
From Kentucky.
Well, all I know is the guy you call the GOAT occasionally needs a scapegoat. And that would be AD.
And at,
good luck.
And at Paragon.
Good luck. Be careful what you wish for.
Six foot nine from St. Mary.
Yeah.
No mercy.
After a close game one loss, Joel Embiid said he needed to do more to carry the 76ers in the playoffs. Embiid followed it up with 34 points last night in game two, but it came in a 27-point blowout loss against the Celtics. Embiid admitted it was a tough night and said he is already trying to lock in for game three. So, Shannon, how disappointing has Joel Embiid been to you?
Skip, all the Sixers have is Embiid. Skip, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe he just doesn't seem like he's in shape to me. And I think that's the thing that because, you know, he plays like four or five games and then he'll miss three or four games. But it just always seems like he's lumbering. And I understand, Skip. He's a big man. He's 7 foot tall, over 300 pounds. He's a big man. And so to think he's going to get up and down the court like David Robinson and Akeem Olajuwon, Skip, is a bit unrealistic. Mm. But I still think he can get in better conditioning. I think he needs to change his eating habit, take his diet and training more serious. But for me, in order for them to have even a chance, it needs to be 40-20, and I just think that unrealistic. They maxed out Tobias Harris. They gave Al Horford 20. Al Horford must be getting paid in Bitcoin because I don't know if people realize how much money he actually making, and he ain't been good in a long time. So they must be paying him in Bitcoin. Skip, they got $289 million tied up in those two guys.
Mm-hmm.
They maxed out Tobias Harris. Look, I ain't got no problem. Get your money. But he's not a max guy. Al Horford opted out of a contract with the Celtics and got hit and got major money. So, Skip, when you really look at it, the Sixers are Joel Embiid and that's it.
Yep.
Skip, they can't beat this. They're not going to beat Boston.
No. Nope.
Boston had three guys again. They have three guys that average 20 in the regular season. Jason Tatum, 33. Kemba, 22. Jaylen Brown. And none of those guys played basically 30 minutes. And they got 20 points. They can't do anything. I mean, look, I think Joel Embiid is a phenomenal talent. But Skip, they cannot beat the Sixers with just Joel Embiid. They don't have enough pieces. And Brett Brown's gonna cost him his job.
Yep.
He's gonna get fired, Skip.
Agreed.
I'm sorry. I like Joel Embiid. I think he's phenomenal, but I think he should be in better shape.
Yep. I hear you. Yet, if these were normal times, game three would be played back in Philadelphia, where the Sixers, by the way, during the regular season were 29-2 at home. 29-2.
Best on record.
Okay, so to your point, after the game last night on TNT, the great Shaquille O'Neal said of Joel Embiid, he's a very, very talented young man.
Mm-hmm.
You would agree with that?
Yes, absolutely.
I definitely agree with that.
Yes.
I believe that Ben Simmons is a very, very talented young man. Both of them are missing something intangibly. Ben's missing a jump shot. Now he's missing in action because right. he's gone, obviously. So, and you don't think they fit together. I do. I've seen them fit together. I saw them against the eventual champion Toronto Raptors last year. It took the luckiest shot in the history of the NBA playoffs to beat them in Game 7. Do you remember that?
I do.
I forget the guy's name who made it, but he made it, and it bounced around the rim four times and finally fell through. And it took that to stop Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons from then getting to take on Milwaukee right. in the conference final. Who knows what would have happened there, but maybe they would have gotten to the championship, to the NBA finals. And that's why, before the year started, I picked the Sixers to win the East. I'm not picking them anymore because I do agree with you. Joel doesn't look like he's in any kind of shape to me. He looks a little pudgy. He looks a little soft. He just looks like he gets quickly winded mm-hmm. and he quickly loses heart. So what did we see last night? I think he said, okay, watch this. And what did he do in the first quarter? He took over the game.
Yeah.
He scored 15 in the first quarter, made six of his first nine shots. And at one point, they jumped out to a 25-11 lead, and then they were up 31-18.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kind of lost a little bit of momentum in the second quarter, lost a little heart, and he scored seven. But at halftime, Joel Embiid had 22 points and seven rebounds and three assists. Not bad.
No.
On his way to 44-14-6. That, right. that would work.
Yes.
That'd be the kind of number
yes.
you could say,
yes.
that could win that game,
yes.
right?
Yes.
That could overcome all those,
yes.
those stars, those rising stars in Boston.
Right.
Well, if we could see this with 8 minutes left in the third quarter, Josh Richardson tried an entry pass into Joel Embiid, who was trying to get some position. I think we have this clip if we could see it. So he's trying to lob it in, and he lobs it so bad wide left that Tice just picks it off and they go the other way. And it was still a fairly close game at that point, and then that was the end of that. And Joel Embiid was taken out of the game by Brett Brown and went over and sat and sulked and pouted and just hung his head.
Yeah, because Skip, I mean, he didn't even make no effort.
I know.
Look at this.
I got it.
Okay.
I got it.
So that's it. That's the best you can do to get back in position.
Get back.
And look at this.
Get back. Try. Get your arms up. Can you even put a hand up?
Come on now.
Okay, I got it. He quit. He just said, I've had enough. If he can't throw me a more accurate entry
right.
pass than that, because what does he think of Tice? What, Daniel Tice? What do you think he thinks he can do to him? Just terrorize him, yeah. right?
Well, Daniel Tice, he probably should have had the numbers that he ended with. He should have had those at the half against that guy. What do you think Shaq would have did against that guy?
Thank you. I do agree. I'm with you. So as much as I have loved Joel Embiid, I loved him at Kansas. In fact, an executive who works with the Sixers called me before that draft and said, what do you think of Joel Embiid? I said, I love him. Do you think he can stay healthy? I said, I doubt it.
No.
Because it usually just doesn't. It's not the case. You're too big with too many problems.
Thank you. Skip, if you're having problems at 18 with your on lower extremities,
mm-hmm.
imagine what happens when you get 20, 22 as you start to grow into your body. Tall, big, like I said, you look at Kareem was basically injury free. But Kareem is a thin man to begin with.
He was.
So you put a lot, that body, a whole a lot of 7'2", can hold 400 pounds and make it look like 325.
Yep. I just don't see Joel get serious enough. You know what I mean? Where you're locked in. You don't have that look in your eye. He had it for a little while right. at the first, and then if it starts to go south, he's just like, I'm out.
But Skip, a lot of times guys will, if you in supreme physical condition.
Yep.
You can go a lot. When other guys start to get tired,
yep.
now you can pick up an easy, quick 4 or 6 points. You can get them in trouble. But when you get winded,
yep.
when you get winded, that fatigue will make a coward out you. So guess what you do? Mm-hmm. You lollygag back on defense,
mm-hmm.
and then you give up an and one, and then the coach take your butt out the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens.
By the way, that was Vince Lombardi who said that.
Yes.
Fatigue makes cowards of us
yes.
all, and it does.
Skip, look, I get it. There are different levels of talent.
Yep.
We get that.
Mm-hmm.
But no one should say, no, get your butt in the gym, train your eating habits. Hey, everybody like burger and want to eat knick-knack.
I got it.
But what's more important?
Does he care enough?
Thank you. That's
know.
What it comes down to.
Yep. And I'm starting to have to ask that question about young Zion. Does he care enough?
Well, we're about to find out.
Okay. All right.
We'll find out.
Two very, very talented young men.
Yes.
Bigger commitment than sometimes we realize health and fitness, right? That accountability factor. No mercy.